This is Winthrop Sherman in Washington. Hollywood aviator Howard Hughes clashed in dramatic fashion today with Republican Senator Owen Brewster of Maine before the Senate's War Investigating Committee. Mutual recorded the entire proceedings of the committee today, and we are now going to take you by recording to this sensational hearing, allow you to hear the charges and denials of the two prominent Americans in their own voices as they spoke on the witness stand. The background is the big white marble caucus chamber of the Senate office building. It is packed with eager spectators. They gave Howard Hughes a burst of applause as he entered, a tall, thin, gaunt-faced man with a little black mustache. The inquiry into Mr. Hughes' wartime aviation contracts is sidetracked while the committee hears his charges against Republican Senator Brewster of Maine. Senator Ferguson of Michigan refers to these charges as a side issue. He addresses the witness.
What is it that you want to tell the committee in relation to this side issue, as the committee now sees it?
I don't have any particular desire to tell the committee anything. I think the committee is thoroughly familiar with it. I have made certain statements to the press, and I stand by those. Senator Brewster has then said that he would like me to repeat those statements under oath. I have no objection to so doing. I think, however, if I do so, Senator Brewster should take the stand, allow me to cross-question him, and allow me to bring in such other witnesses as I desire to clarify the issue.
Well, now I just, and this has been discussed by the subcommittee, the understanding of the subcommittee that we will apply the regular rules as far as cross-examination. The committee, the subcommittee, will not give to Senator Brewster the right to cross-examine you, nor will you have the right to cross-examine Senator Brewster. But we will apply the rule that has been applied to the committee hearings ever since the chairman of the subcommittee has been on it. And I understand before that, that if there are any questions you or your counsel have, if you will submit them to the committee, or if Senator Brewster will submit them to the committee, then we will ask those questions. But we'll do it in that way because the same rule was applied to other witnesses and will be applied here. And as to that, this part of the case, while Senator Brewster is a member of the whole committee, the chair in the committee, the subcommittee as a whole feels that he should have only the same privileges that you have as a citizen under these circumstances.
Mr. Chairman, would you make it clear that I have myself stated that as my view of the propriety of these proceedings?
That is correct. But so that it would be clear and you would understand that you're having exactly the same rights.
Well, I only want the same privileges. However, it should be thoroughly understood that any questioning of me, which you people carry out, is in the nature of cross-examination if the questions are directed from an unfriendly standpoint. Now, I think I should have the same privilege with respect to Senator Brewster.
I think that you should wait at least until you find that they are unfriendly questions.
Well, then
you,
as
have
I
you had any unfriendly questions up to date here?
Not at all.
All right.
Then, as I understand it, you want me to tell in direct testimony approximately what happened, then the senator is going to tell what he says happened, and then you're going to ask me certain questions, and I shall have the right to ask him. Is that it?
That's correct.
But I have
through
to relay my questions through you?
Yes. That's the rule of the committee.
That involves a certain delay there.
A slight delay. But the committee is accustomed to that.
The audience is amused at this talk of delay. Mr. Hughes kept the committee and the spectators waiting for him for most of half an hour before he appeared. We hear him now still sparring with the committee chairman over the rules for this forthcoming conflict with Senator Brewster. And the aviator asks,
Will I have the right to call on such other witnesses as I deem desirable?
We'll rule on that as you requested. The committee doesn't want to anticipate. And when I say committee, I mean the subcommittee will not anticipate that question at the present time. If you name the witnesses, we will then decide that.
Well, Senator, I don't desire to launch into this matter and then have my hands tied.
Well, now, Mr. Hughes, as far as the chair can do, you will not have your hands tied. It's no desire of the committee to bring a citizen in here and tie his hands that he hasn't a fair hearing. So as these things go on, now you may think that we could rule, but there's no way we can rule upon an issue until it is presented. We are not willing as a committee to pass on hypothetical cases because they may not appear.
Well, it is your intention to accord me the same privileges that Senator Brewster will have.
It is.
Now, you have called...
That's the unanimous decision of the subcommittee.
You have called, during the course of this hearing, such witnesses as you desired, so it seems that in order to be equitable, I should have that privilege.
Well, at the close of this hearing, you will tell us what witnesses you desire. The committee will then make a decision on that, or sometime later, if you will give us the list of the witnesses that you desire.
Well, I'm willing to proceed on that basis. What's the first step?
Well, what do you have to say about this matter that you had?
Well,
we have been discussing.
I think my charges have been made pretty clear in the press.
Well,
do you want me to reiterate them?
They are not part of the record. And it's the desire of the committee, if any statements are made, that they be made here under oath and not through the medium of the press.
Well, I charge specifically that during a luncheon in the Mayflower Hotel,
I interrupt, it's not to bother you at all, but I'd like to get the dates as you go along and give us your personal knowledge of the facts, and then we probably can let you go right along with your conversation.
Senator, I am trying to be very accurate in this matter, and I'm trying not to make any statement unless I am quite sure of it. Now, the luncheon was during the week commencing February 10th, 1947. It was in the suite of Senator Brewster, and I charge specifically that during that luncheon, the senator, in so many words, told me that if I would agree to merge TWA with Pan American Airways and go along on his community airline bill, that there would be no further hearing in this matter.
There, that is the charge, and the film star aviator has repeated it under oath. Mr. Hughes owns the controlling interest in Trans World Airlines. He charges that Senator Brewster tried to threaten him into merging his line with Pan American Airways and support the Brewster Community Airline Bill. Before we hear Senator Brewster's denial, here is Mr. Hughes again.
Well, I should say that my first conversation with Senator Brewster when he was in Kansas City was quite brief. I understand from the telephone records it was only 3 minutes. And he said he was coming to Washington and would meet me at his apartment when he got in. But I was a little leery about that, and so I told him I'd see him in his office the next day. So when I met him in his office, he immediately launched into the community airline bill. He didn't have much to say about this investigation. So he talked about British supremacy, jet propulsion, and labor differential, and how it was impossible for the present competitive American system to succeed because foreign airlines could supply services at the lower foreign labor rate in direct competition with us. And I told them I didn't agree. Furthermore, I didn't agree about England's technical supremacy over us. I said that the United States, in my opinion, had always led in commercial aviation and probably always would. I said that some foreign countries had exceeded us in flash performance of various military types, but that when it came to sound, safe, commercial aviation, this country had always led. And I felt it always would. And I felt that people might even be willing to pay a little premium to ride on a United States airline because I thought it would be safer and the public would appreciate that. So anyway, we had some argument on that matter, and then I told him I was in Washington, and while here I would like to testify before his committee if he so desired and dispose of the matter, because I didn't want to come back to Washington again. So,
now, could I just
inquire? I'm just giving you the high spots of these conversations.
I understand.
I'm not attempting to mention every point.
Could I inquire there, Mr. Hughes, as to whether or not the matter that you said you wanted to testify to was in relation to the cargo and the F-11? Rather than the question of TWA or any other airline.
Well, that's correct, Senator. sometime previously, I had heard that this investigation was brewing. I also heard that Pan American was behind it. And I thought, rather than wait until I was subpoenaed and embarrassed, that I would offer voluntarily to testify.
And it was in relation to the two contracts that you were speaking about testifying before his committee, that is the war investigating committee.
In relation to this very matter under discussion here.
Well, you mean the cargo and the F-11. All right, now will you proceed with the conversation?
Well, now the conversation at the Mayflower Hotel started out with some inconsequential talk about some kind of a thing he had there in the room. Seems to me it was something hanging on the wall. And we got around the community airline bill again. And he gave me a lot of sales talk on that. And then we finally got into this proposition, which I mentioned.
So much for the testimony of Howard Hughes before the Senate subcommittee. But here comes a strange scene in the committee room. Remember, this investigation of the Howard Hughes aviation contracts is being conducted by a subcommittee of the Senate War Investigating Committee. That subcommittee is headed by Senator Ferguson. The chairman of the full committee is Republican Senator Brewster of Maine. Now Senator Brewster takes the witness stand before one of his own subcommittees to deny the charges of Mr. Hughes.
Now, will you state your views on this matter?
Well, before I do that, I would like to express my appreciation of this opportunity to appear. I recognize the somewhat unprecedented character of this situation, and if any action of mine at any time shall seem calculated to have caused embarrassment to this committee in carrying out its very high responsibilities, I am naturally most deeply regretful. I appreciate the opportunity, however, to tell you what I know about this particular matter which Mr. Hughes brings up, and I think it is entirely appropriate that the records of the committee should contain my statement as well as his. And I realize that to some extent we may be blazing new trails here where the committee has rather serious precedents of a novel character to consider, and into the consideration of those on your part, I should not, of course, wish to enter. But I realize something of the problem that's presented. I think I can clarify this matter of dates, as I think every date which he mentioned, about which he was in some doubt, to consider. And into the consideration of those on your part, I should not, of course, wish to enter. But I realize something of the problem that's presented. I think I can clarify this matter of dates, as I think every date which he mentioned, about which he was in some doubt, I can very definitely establish, as I have done some research in this matter myself, since this matter became a cause célèbre. So, first, of course, as to the statement, a very precise statement he makes, as to my proposing to him in my apartment in the Mayflower, where I was entertaining him at lunch, for which I paid $8.80 out of my own pocket, it seems inconceivable to me that anyone could seriously contemplate that one who had been in public life as long as I have, and the state legislature, as governor of Maine, as a member of Congress and the Senate, could, on the short acquaintance I had with Mr. Hughes, as he said, I'd only seen him once before when I was a guest of his in the Constellation, along with Senator Ferguson and Senator Vandenberg and Senator Barkley and Senator Truman, that on the very brief acquaintance which that necessarily represented, and the meeting with him here in Washington, which I think he is substantially correct about as to the duration of them, that I would have made so bald a proposition as he here describes. It sounds to me a little more like Hollywood than it does like Washington. I am quite sure that no one of any competence or experience here would make such a proposal, and I can assure you that I never did. It would be inconceivable that a man would make such talk to Mr. Hughes. But since this is a matter where very important issues are involved, I have done some research, and I think there is a sequence of events, both before and since this, which lends rather ample confirmation to my version of this affair. And I shall appreciate the opportunity to present that as I realize something of the nature of this suggestion. Now, I think we may take note of the fact that Mr. Hughes has in his public statements, although I don't think he repeated it here today, intimated that his troubles commenced when he got his franchise to fly overseas. I read that in one of his serials that he has been issuing. And that statement, it seems to me, is utterly unborn out by the records of this committee in this case. And so I think in order to keep the record straight, we should go back to the beginning of the interest of this committee in this affair in July 1942.
Now we jump over a bit of the testimony of Senator Brewster to bring you some more of the highlights. Mutual is bringing you recorded highlights from the testimony before the Senate Subcommittee, War Investigating Committee, on Capitol Hill here in Washington this afternoon. At the present time, we are listening to recorded excerpts from the testimony of Senator Brewster, Republican of Maine, in answer to the charges brought by Howard Hughes. Now, Senator Brewster will go a little more fully into the details of the controversy. First, we will hear him speak briefly of his Community Airline Bill, the bill that would call for the merger of Hughes Trans World Line with the Pan American Airways of one trip. Senator Brewster gives his version of the Wednesday luncheon conversation with Hughes. He concedes that he spoke to Mr. Hughes about the Community Airline Bill, but he denies he knew anything of Mr. Hughes' conversation with Mr. Tripp. Now, speaking of the bill, Senator Brewster is saying,
at the opening of this session, Senator McCarran introduced his bill again, and subsequently, I do not know about the date, Senator White of Maine, who is chairman of the Interstate and Foreign Commerce Committee, and myself, joined with Senator McCarran and Senator McMahon of Connecticut. in sponsoring another bill, which was somewhat of a modification of the latest McCarran bill, which was introduced and on which hearings were subsequently held by this subcommittee of which I speak. Mr. Hughes queried me about this, and we did discuss this two or three times. I won't say in how much detail at different times. My invitation to him to lunch on Wednesday, as he had now decided that he wasn't going to leave us on Wednesday, although the time of the Kansas City telephone conversation, he said he couldn't wait until Wednesday. But Tuesday night he told me that he was staying over Wednesday, and I thought the least courtesy I could show him in response to his very kind courtesies to me was to ask him to lunch at my apartment, which I did. And as he says, we discussed various matters. We discussed many matters. The hanging on the wall to which he speaks, I recall quite well because it was a llama from Lima, which Mrs. Brewster and I had secured on our trip around South America last November and December. And we had this hanging on the wall, and it invited his curiosity. We also had many other matters. I remember he told me somewhat of the movie world, which is a natural matter of interest to everyone on this end of the continent, and of his various adventures in life. While this matter is up, I saw a quotation in the press that Mr. Hughes had stated that on the trip to South America, which Mrs. Brewster and I carried out last November and December, that I was the guest of Pan America. I was interested that was one of the matters he did not repeat on oath, but I think that I will give it that amount of attention, and I would like to submit for the record the canceled check which I hold in my hand under date of December 20th, 1946, to the Pan American Airways for $2,028.60, which covered the transportation of Mrs. Brewster and myself completely around South America. I read also in the paper that...
That'll be received as Exhibit E.
I read also that Mr. Johnny Meyer, in the time he spent in South America, this was another report in the press, had been down there investigating Senator Brewster's trip around South America as the guest of Pan America. I have the clipping here, which refers to this matter. And I simply hope that some appropriate agency of the government may give consideration to whether or not that is a deductible expense. For Mr. Myers to travel around South America investigating any senator or anyone else, that is another item where perhaps some saving could be made for the government. I hold this clipping in my hand, and I read the quotation. Meyer, this is in the Sunday American, New York Sunday Mirror, last Sunday. Meyer, whose greatest appeal is his lightning sense of humor with pithy comebacks, wasn't taking any. His wisecracks rocked the room several times. One question he was chafing to answer didn't come. Quote, Patagonia Johnny, so that's what Brewster called me. I may say that I didn't call him that. I've never referred to it. I had referred to the fact I heard he was down there, but I didn't know where he was pointed. Johnny snorted. I hope he asks me what I was doing in South America. I'll answer that. I went there to collect evidence about his tie with Pan America. The end of the quotation. Well, I think the best way to get the information is direct from its source, and I received no hospitality or entertainment at Pan American on the trip around South America, except of the most casual sort. I don't readily recall any. I was entertained at Buenos Aires by the American Embassy, where we spent a week. I paid my own way at the Copacabana Hotel in Rio, and similarly in Santiago, Chile, and was entertained at the American Embassy in Lima. So I think Johnny must have had a rather fruitless expedition around South America in this matter. Now, following the conversations which I speak,
We did discuss Community Company, and I think he mentioned the matter of a possible merger with Pan American. I had not heard of it before. Whether he mentioned the name of Mr. Tripp, I'm not clear, but I am clear that this is the first time I ever heard of a Pan-American apartment or room in the Mayflower. I thought I knew quite a good deal about them, but I never knew of that. And I noted he referred here in his testimony to the fact that... Where are the rest of those ones that are here? To the fact that he had had dinner in Tripp's apartment at the Mayflower Hotel. I noted that at the time. That's the first I ever heard of that, because I never knew they had one. They've evidently passed me up on that. Now, what happened between Mr. Hughes and Mr. Tripp after that time, I have no knowledge. I never had any knowledge of Mr. Tripp's trip out to California, of which he speaks, or the fact he was considering it, or the conversations that were going on.
Senator Brewster, at the Mayflower, you have stated in the beginning your version of it.
Yes.
But was there anything said about putting the hearings on, or putting the investigation on, or taking it off, or...
Not a word. Not a word.
Senator Brewster goes on in his turn to charge intimidation and threats, implying that he was threatened with unhappy consequences if he failed to call off the Hughes investigation. The senator recounts that he had conversations with one Hugh Fulton, who, he said, requested himself as a... represented himself, rather, as a friend of Mr. Hughes. The senator says Mr. Fulton suggested concluding the inquiry into the Hughes contract with only a closed-door hearing and a report, no open hearings, such as are now going on.
And when I got back, I proceeded as promptly as I could to take the action that seemed to be clearly indicated, since there seemed to be an attempt to suggest that if I should continue further with this matter, I would have personal occasion for regret, that I and my associations were to be challenged and placed in possible disrepute if I dared to proceed with this matter. Now, here was a fundamental issue. If a member of the Senate or a chairman of a committee are to be intimidated by actions of this character, then senatorial investigations may well cease, because there is no one who desires particularly to have matters of this kind so thoroughly explored. And I had to face the decision, which I did. And I promptly appointed the subcommittee headed by Senator Ferguson with the others whom I named to handle this matter from then on. Let the chips fall where they may. And from that time on, there has been no action on my part to accelerate or retard this investigation. And no matter what may be the personal difficulties, as far as I am concerned, I cannot and will not yield to a campaign of this character.
And that is Senator Orrin Brewster's denial before the subcommittee of the Senate's War Investigating Committee of charges brought against him by millionaire aviator Howard Hughes. The charge was made under oath. The denial was made under oath. The senators of the committee must try the case, so to speak, and there will be a lot more evidence. As the hearing ended today, both Senator Brewster and Mr. Hughes were asked to submit their cross-examination questions for tomorrow's hearing. Mr. Hughes said he had some 200 to 500 questions he wants the committee to ask the senator. As you heard from the testimony here, the committee won't let either of the protagonists in this drama put questions directly to the other. They must be submitted in advance in writing, and if asked at all, will be asked by committee members. But it's a warm battle, even if by the committee rules the contenders must operate at arm's length. Mutual will be recording the interchanges of testimony again tomorrow, and it will be heard over many of these same stations. You have been listening to recorded excerpts from the testimony of Howard Hughes and Senator Orrin Brewster before the Senate War Investigating Committee here in Washington, D.C. Winthrop Sherman speaking. This is the world's largest network, the Mutual Broadcasting System.